Quite a lot of you know my daughter, Jess. Some of you who've come more recently maybe haven't met her. But she's given me permission this morning to share a little bit of her story. So what I'm going to tell you, she knows about the fact that I'm telling you, and I've got her permission to do so. She's now 24 years old, but 8 or 9 years ago, she was in her final year of secondary school, working hard for her GCSEs and expecting to do pretty well. She was predicted to do fairly well. But year 11 for Jess was a really difficult year. She got really very seriously ill, and she missed a lot of school. And when it came to the exams, she actually wound up in hospital for a while and was too unwell to actually sit any of her GCSE exams. And the school at the time were absolutely brilliant. They wrote to the exam board and they said, look, here's letters from the doctors to say that she really is unwell. Here's our predictions of the grades that we think she should have got in her GCSEs. Could you please mark her GCSEs based on what we know Jess would have got had she been well enough to sit the exams? And the exam board didn't write back. So we heard nothing, and we just had to wait for results day. And that was pretty horrible, quite honestly. They wouldn't give us an answer until the day the results came out, so we just didn't know what was going to happen. We prayed, and we waited, and we hoped. And then when the results day came later that summer, we got the envelope, and with kind of fear and trembling, quite honestly, we opened it up. Jess had failed every single exam. They gave her ungraded for every subject, which is a complete fail. Actually, that's not 100% true. She got a grade for art, but everything else, they gave her no mark at all. They gave her a fail. And as you can imagine, she was devastated. We were devastated. It felt like all the hopes, all the dreams, all the plans were just melting away in that moment. And we prayed a lot, but for a while it felt pretty hopeless. All we could think about was what Jess didn't have. And what she didn't have was GCSEs. But we carried on praying, and after a little while, it struck us that there were some things that she did still have. She still had the abilities that God had given her in the first place. And she still had a God who does remarkable things. And so Jess took herself along to a college open day and spoke to one of the admission staff about doing A-levels. Now, you can't do A-levels if you don't have GCSEs. Everyone knows that. But apparently one of the admissions tutors at Barton College didn't know that, because they gave her a place in the college anyway, on condition that she took a couple of GCSEs while she was first there alongside her A-level courses. And so, long story short, Jess got her A-levels and then went to work for a couple of years, and she's now at university doing a degree. But what I'm really telling you this for is because for a while, all we could see, all we could focus on, what absorbed all of our thinking and attention, was what she didn't have. We kind of got stuck on what she didn't have. And we needed to have our eyes opened to see what she still did have. The woman who came to Elisha in the events that we've been hearing about from 2 Kings 4, thank you, Ella. The woman that we heard about this morning, she came to Elisha seeing only what she didn't have. Now, that's not totally surprising, because she didn't have very much, did she? But nevertheless, that's what she was focused on. But she did have something. And it's amazing how often God's way of meeting our needs starts off with what he's already given us. Elisha asked her, what do you have in your house? What have you got? What have you already got? What gifts have you already got? What resources have you already got? What friends have you already got? What things has God already given you? What's he already provided? Jesus did one of his most memorable miracles when a young boy came to him and said, "All I've got is a couple of fish and a few small loaves." And Jesus took that and he fed thousands of people with it. All this woman had was a small amount of olive oil. But when she offered that to God, when she offered the little tiny thing she did have, he did something miraculous. Your not enough placed into the hands of God can be more than enough. Your not enough placed into the hands of God can be more than enough. So I wonder what you've got. I wonder what you've got that God could use for great things. I wonder whether you've been focused on what you don't have, whether that's been allowed to fill your mind so that you don't see what you do have. And I could make that one point and I could stop there, but I think there's something else really important in the story that we've heard from the Bible. There's another really important lesson in those events from Elisha's life, and I want us to notice that as well. Did you notice that the oil stopped flowing as soon as she ran out of jars? And did you notice that Elisha said to her, and it was directly quoted out of the Bible, that the words in our acting out were very much word for word, the story in the Bible. Did you notice that Elisha said to her, "Don't ask for just a few jars, ask for a lot of jars. Get big jars, get loads of jars. Don't just ask for a few." I wonder, if she'd gathered twice as many jars, would God have given her twice as much oil? What about if she'd gathered 10 times as many jars? Sometimes God honors the size of our expectations. Sometimes we don't see miracles because we don't ask for miracles. Sometimes the limitation isn't God's ability, it's the size of the jar that we bring him. And so I wonder where we might have been praying small, modest prayers, and God's been whispering in our ear, "Pray something bigger, pray something bolder, pray something more adventurous, pray something more faith-filled. Bring me a bigger jar to fill." So we're going to take a couple of minutes. We always do this when we have all-age services. We're going to take a couple of minutes to either have a think and a pray privately, if that's how you want to think this through, or to have a conversation with somebody sitting near you or somebody that you know. I've got two questions for you, and they're going to come up on the screen. What do you already have that God might be able to use? What do you already have? What gifts? What resources? As Elisha said to the widow, what do you have in your home? I don't necessarily mean literally physically in your home. What have you got? What's God given you that he might be able to use more than he currently is? And where in your life, where in your circumstances might God be saying, pray something bigger. Bring me a bigger jar. You can take a few minutes just by yourself and talk to God about those questions, or you can turn to somebody sitting near you and have a conversation with somebody else. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 minutes to talk about those or think about those. We're not going to come round and ask for feedback this morning, but if God's spoken to you through those questions or through the story that we've heard from Elisha's life, then hold on to those things. Make a commitment to pray bigger prayers. make a decision before him to offer those things that maybe he's not been using yet but could use.